it is not an easy thing to preach a sermon about the law in a time in which so many people argue and struggle against the law itself. We live in a day in which lawbreakers are more respected than law keepers. We live in a day in which the law itself is held in derision and is seen to be in opposition to the people itself. This is not a cultural thing. It's not a what they do. It's what we are also doing within the church. We are looking at what God's word is to us, and we try to make excuses to the world for what God expects. It brings us and it places us in a dangerous position in accordance to God and in accordance to the community of faith that we are all called to be a part of. I want to step back from the brink, the precipice, or the cliff, and share with you a little story about my grandson, Gabriel. Yesterday, we got a chance to go see Gabriel play in a football game in Kettering, Ohio. Gabriel's in second grade, and Gabe is playing interior line on the defense and the offense. Now, one of Gabe's jobs as an interior lineman is to be right over the ball, and as soon as that ball is snapped, he's to cross the line to get the ball carrier and, if he can, the quarterback. Now, Gabe had a fantastic day yesterday. He had 4 quarterback sacks, okay? There were a couple times when the poor quarterback didn't know what to do because Gabe was across the line so fast. But there were at least 3 times that Gabe jumped the line and got the flag called on him. There's those moments when you are walking right there on the edge of breaking the rules. And that's what Gabe's learning as a player. His job is to be there a split second after the ball is snapped. But the flaw in that is that if you time it wrong, the flags come out. If you do it right, your team advances. If you do it wrong, you hurt your team. It's what we do when we live on the edge. And most of us, when it comes to the rules, live on the edge. We want to know what the rules are in order that we might do whatever we can to live within the rules and stretch them to its limit. Students understand that when they ask their teacher when the assignment is due, they don't ask about the day. They ask about the minute. They want to know when the assignment is due, as in 10:45 or 10:50. Because many of the students that are out there in the world, and we're all like it, we want to know our deadline so that we can meet it. And very few of us are seeking to exceed the expectations. Rules are there. But they're there so that we know what our limits are, so that we know what we can, in many ways, get away with. That's how we view them. And it's our problem. Because many of us, when we live on the edge, we end up breaking the rules. And when we break the rules, we become angry at those who call us. Have you ever talked to a kid who didn't turn in their homework assignment on time? They'll say, "I was just an hour late," right? Or a young person who doesn't show up to work on time, and they'll say, "I was only 10 minutes late." Late is late. It's a limit that none of us like. but we all have to live in. None of us like it when we're wrong. And whenever we've seen the gumball lights behind us, we know that we have probably violated something. You know, we all ask the question when the police officer comes to the window, "How can I help you, officer?" But we all also know exactly why the officer pulled us over. Yesterday, I was driving I-75, and as driving in and out of construction zones, the police are they want to make sure you see them. And sometimes they're talking to somebody on the side of the road. You know why. And you also know that but for the grace of God, that could be you also. You're driving 70, and that's the speed limit. And then you decide, you know what, I'd like to get there a few seconds early. So you start increasing the speed. And then you see a police officer and you say, "Whoa, I better get back down to the limit." Now, 70 is quite fast. Can we all acknowledge that 70 is, that's a really good speed. When I was growing up, 75 was the limit on the highway. If I was going 55, excuse me, was the limit on the highway. If I was going 70, oh my gosh, I was speeding and then some. 55 was fast in those days. Now we get to go 70, and we want to go faster. What is it about us that no matter what the limit is, we seek to break the limit? Now, I'll tell you why we want to go fast. Because we want to get there early. We want to be able to leave later. We want to be able to wake up 20 minutes later than we would have to if we left on time. Is it just me, or is it, you know, it could be I'm the only one like that. But we want to leave later, so we want to drive faster. Most of the time when we're violating rules, what it really goes down to is that we're selfish. We're greedy. We want what we want. And the law stands there to make sure that we don't hurt ourselves in following our own interests. The reality is that you all know that going a particular speed isn't really dangerous to you as long as there's no one else on the road and all the conditions are good. But there's a problem. There's other people on the road, and the conditions aren't always good. And so there are rules that we have to follow. So there are things that we have to do. And none of us like the idea that we have to do these things. Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. The law doesn't cure your problems. The law doesn't make sure that there's no accidents. You know that. And I know that. But it does change your behaviors, especially when you realize that there could be something that might set you back. Sometimes the long arm of the law slows you down. No idea what that is. At first, I thought it was a siren, and I was getting really concerned. One of the things about the law that gets us into trouble is that we think that the law, the referee, or the other team is in opposition to us. This is where we get into serious trouble, and this is where we are today. Most of us believe that the rules are there to hurt us in some ways, that they're unfair, that they're against us. We live our lives thinking that the rules are opposed to us, or that somehow they're there to impede our rights or our freedoms. This is where the work of God is in trouble in today's culture. because God has set very clear laws and limits on people. But most of us see those limitations as being something that is in opposition to us, that God doesn't love us when God sets laws, that God doesn't care for us when God has expectations in our lives. We don't understand that the law is for us, that God intends to put limits around us so that community can be safe and so that proper authority could be respected. The Ten Commandments are not easy to preach in today's world because most of us do believe that the law is opposed to us and our freedoms. I can't tell you how many stories on the news begin by recognizing or by stating in some way the limits of the law or the freedoms of the person against the law. We tell stories about people who've done bad things, and then we always make sure that we couch it with an understanding of what the law can and can't do. We talk about in the legal world, there's rules about what the police can do in finding evidence. And sometimes people go free where we know they've done something wrong because the rules were violated on the police side. And there's debates and arguments over those rules and who's following them, whether they're the right thing. And no one asks the question as to whether someone was injured, violated, or harmed. We know, and we've seen it, that there are people that kill or injure other people who aren't punished because of a violation on the other side. And when it gets to the point where all of the law is about the picayune, the small, the minor violations that happen every day, then we get ourselves in a problem where we no longer recognize what the law really is there for. Because all we're concerned about is following the letter or those little things that get in the way. And we become, honestly, like a kid on the football field who gets flagged for a violation. We get angry because it doesn't seem like it means anything. And when we get caught, it feels like maybe that they really just don't like us. Over this last year, I've been working with the Upward team, with our Upward group, and this is the shirt I wear when I play with the kids on Saturdays. You know what this makes me? Yeah. Wrong. Exactly. Pretty much wrong all the time. My job is to make sure that the kids get stopped when they're violating the rules. I have never been right, according to one kid or another. It doesn't matter that they know I love them. It doesn't matter that they call me pastor. I still must be cheating, right? Because when a kid gets caught, they get angry. When the law gets violated, we get angry. But you know what the law is when I'm officiating a game? My law is I don't want a kid hurt. My rule is I want to make sure that those kids play a safe game and a fair game. The reality is that my eyes aren't always perfect and I miss things. It's going to happen. But my goal is to make sure that those kids learn the rules of the game and that they are safe in doing it. Now, take a look at the laws that God has given to us in the Ten Commandments. Can you honestly say that in these Ten Commandments that these are rules that are somehow against you? Look in particular at 5 through 10. Honor your father and mother. You shall not commit murder. You should not commit adultery. You shouldn't steal. You shouldn't lie in court, which is bear false witness. And you shouldn't covet, which is want something that someone else has. Now, let me tell you this. I can give you an argument why I want to do all of these things. We all say, oh, I want to kill that person. If there were a law, right? We all think our parents are nuts sometimes, right? I'm on the other end of that now, where my kids think I'm nuts. Let's not even go to some of the other laws there. But no one wants to be stolen from. But I promise you, there's a lot of people that don't mind stealing. We don't call it stealing, but we'll cheat on our taxes, and we'll take a, you know, if they give us extra money at the, you know, at the after we pay for our groceries, if they get it wrong and we're on the benefiting end of it, we might not go to the counter and tell the manager that they, you know, didn't charge us enough. But if they charge us too much, we notice that immediately, don't we? This is the world that we live in. And when God gave us the Ten Commandments, it wasn't to restrict you. It was actually for the benefit of your community, for everyone. You see, no one likes to be stolen from. No one likes to have the authority of their parents threatened. If we are not in a community, if we're not in a group that understands that we're all in it together, then the reality is that this second tablet of the Ten Commandments doesn't make any sense to us. Because all of it seems to stop someone from doing something against someone else. We see it in opposition. But our oppositional thinking in life is what actually takes us away from the law itself. Our first tablet is the understanding of God's authority in our lives. Those first four commandments, no other gods before God. Thou shalt not make graven images. Don't take the Lord's name in vain, and remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Again, we found reasons to rebel against those. Even to the point of we've made the Sabbath into a normal day now, haven't we? Was the Sabbath really intended to stop you from enjoying yourself? Or was the Sabbath intended to make it so that people didn't have to work 7 days a week? If you look at the scripture, the rationale for the Sabbath is to make it so people weren't enslaved every day, all the time. In fact, the Lord tells us on keeping the Sabbath that even the slave and the ox is supposed to have the day off. See, it's not for the individual, it's for the community. All of the rules that are set here are so that we can live in harmony and peace with each other. God's rules are the same as my rules on a football field. God wants us to be fair, and God wants us to be safe. But the reality is that if it affects us, if it's against us, then we want to get our way. We want to do it the way we want to do it. If we get the advantage. When my grandson leaves the line a split second early and sacks the quarterback and the flag comes out, guess what Grandpa wants to say? Those officials have it in for my grandson. But all they're doing is calling the game. All they're doing is maintaining the fairness. When my grandson goes and does it right and gets a great play, then everyone cheers. We're all happy because he played the game the right way and he found success. That's the goal. That's what we seek to do. We also have to remember another thing about games and about life. You know, many of us see games as blood sports. And oftentimes, when you're in the stands and you're rooting for the high school team or the college team or your favorite pro team, you'll hear people that yell like they're in a gladiator arena in the first century. They'll talk about killing the other person, right? Rip their head off. I mean, I've been in the stands. I know what they say, and I know what I say. But the reality is that we're not against each other. It's a game, for goodness sakes. No one wants anyone hurt, right? And for goodness sakes, it's a game that these are college kids. I've seen people that get so angry at Ohio State, Michigan stuff that they want the opposite team's kids to get hurt. I mean, legitimately, this isn't joking. These people are angry. And some of the fans can get to the point of violent in the stands. Have you ever seen it? Really? Over a game? Now, imagine what happens in the real world when we're competitive. Imagine what happens when we don't understand who our neighbor is in the real world. We all know the driving rules, and we all think road rage is ridiculous until someone cuts us off. Have you ever followed someone after they cut you off angry? One of the things that happens is when our anger gets a hold of us, we lose control of our understanding that that other person isn't opposed to us in God's eyes, that we're supposed to be in community. And what the law is supposed to set up in our world is an understanding that we are together, we're not different. We're not in opposition to each other. When we forget that, we forget the reasons for God's law. Now, I want to make sure you hear this. I'm not talking about all of the laws in all of the countries. Today, I'm talking about God's law and the Ten Commandments. Don't read any more into it than what I'm saying. But God's law in the Ten Commandments, the law that God's given us, the law of love, is set up so that we can agree with each other and work as a community of faith. It calls us all into being one. And it can only work when we understand that we're unified and that we're together. It's why God's law didn't start with the world, but it started with Israel. It's why God's law today doesn't start with those outside of the church, but begins with those inside of the church. Loving your neighbor is important for us to do, those who are followers of Jesus. And then as we continue to do it, the world will catch on, follow Jesus, and learn to love the neighbor as well. But the first thing we have to do is we have to understand that the law is not against us, the law is for us. And it's an understanding that it is love that makes the law work. You won't hurt someone that you love. Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was. And when Jesus was asked the greatest commandment, he separated the Ten Commandments into two. He said, the first is to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit. And the second is like unto the first, he said, to love your neighbor as yourself. Think about that as the two commandments, the two tablets and the commandments. The God commandments are the first one. You love God with all you are. And the second is like to the first, the second tablet commandments, 5 through 10, to love your neighbor as yourself. Someone who loves their neighbor is not going to kill them. Someone who loves their neighbor is not going to steal from them. They're not going to sleep with their wife or their husband. They're not going to do those things that harm community and destroy the unity of the people of God. I know no one likes to get called for a flag or a foul. But God isn't here to try to catch you. God is here to show you a more excellent way of living. And so it's my joy to know that when Jesus talks about the Ten Commandments, he doesn't frame them as violations. He frames them in love. And that's what we want to do today and in our lives. Frame the commandments of God in love. Is what you are doing and how you are living showing love to God and to your neighbor? If you're doing that, then you'll never have to worry about the violation of the commandment because you'll put God first and others as self. As we continue to look at this in the world and as we continue to reflect on it in our own lives, please know that God's guidance to us is for us so that we could live in harmony and unity with God and with our neighbor. If we can, then our world will be radically transformed. Because people will give to each other, they'll help each other, they'll correct each other in love instead of doing what we currently do today, which is spend a lot of our time hurting each other. I pray that you'll see this as a more excellent way. More importantly, I pray that you're already seeing it as such. And that as you're living in goodness and God, in goodness and in godness and in holiness, that you will also be showing the world around you the joys of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus came not to crack the whip on the people of God, but to show the love of God in giving all that he was so that we might have life. In the same way as the community of faith, we're here for others more than for ourselves. And that in and of itself will transform our vision of law. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you that in the law you have reflected an understanding of love for community. I thank you that in the law you've reflected an understanding of love for God. Lord, we ask that you would help us to see the Old Testament law in a New Testament fashion. That you would help us not to see it as a barrier that restricts, but as a love that is shared with the world around us. Lord God, help us to see what you are doing so that we can do your work and show your love and show your grace to the world. And we pray it in the name of the unified God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.